There are so many dimensions of Paris. I'm thankful that I can return again and again for the rest of my life and enjoy entirely different but equally enchanting aspects of the city. Let's talk about your experiences in Paris right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. Rory's on the line in Frisco in Colorado. Hi, Rory.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Are you thinking about Paris?
I am booked for Paris. My wife and I are going, and we're taking our 9-year-old.
You're taking your 9-year-old. How are you going to manage that?
With lots of cappuccino, I think.
That's right. No, have you thought much about how you're going to make it fun from a family point of view?
Well, I definitely want to limit the amount of things we're going to try to see, and I want to spend a lot of time outside in the fresh air, picnicking. Beyond that, I'm looking for some advice.
Well, first of all, you got to keep the family well-fed and housed, right?
That's right.
Paris is not a cheap city, but I know from my own experience you can pack a lot of kids into one hotel room. The more people you put into one hotel room, the better. So you've just got one child, but you can certainly take a double room and make it a triple. If you have even two or three kids, you can get a big room and all camp out together and save enough money to pay for your food. When it comes to eating, remember the French live in tight quarters and they go out to have a quiet, intimate time together, and they don't really have as much patience with noisy kids and during their nice dinner time experience. But do remember also, Europeans eat later than we do. And if you want with a child, a 9-year-old, I'd recommend going to the restaurants you want to go to, but just go at the first seating, you know, arrive earlier before the local crowd does. There's lots of bistros where you got casual seating outdoors, which makes a lot of sense. In fact, there's a lot of, you go to the marketplaces and there'll be great little bistros nearby that are more rustic and that would be more fun, I think, if you got a child with you.
Oh, great. Great idea.
Also, you know, the city has so much to do with children. There are guidebooks and there are websites that can help out, but I don't know if your 9-year-old's into rollerblading, but if you're traveling with teenagers especially, they shut down much of the city every Sunday afternoon, and not shut down the city, but they make accommodate a gang of a couple hundred rollerbladers, and the police escort them, and they go all through the city enjoying the great boulevards of Paris on rollerblades. That's just one example. Remember, there's a local magazine that comes out every week or two called Periscope, and it just costs less than a dollar. Periscope has a children's section in it, and you can always refer to the Periscope and know what's happening.
Great. Yeah. Those are great ideas.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I remember when our kids were really little, we would go just to the parks and pretend we were living there. And our kids, when they were really little, they'd play in the sandbox with the local kids. And it gave us a chance to have a picnic and kind of hang out with other young parents with their kids. And it's quite easy to feel like a temporary Parisian, especially when you go to the park with your kid and just enjoy that. And, you know, Paris is an elegant place for adults. And it's like there's a parallel world that's just as elegant on kids' standard. And you can go to these parks, and they've got the marionette theaters, and they've got the chance to go in a rowboat, and they've got the classic old 100-year-old carousels, and plenty of ways for your kids to fall in love with Paris. And when all else fails, you've got Disneyland France just at the end of the subway line, so you can head on out there if you want to. Our kids never went to Disneyland in California, but they've been to Disneyland in Paris several times, and it provides all the family fun you'd hope to find in Disneyland in the United States. Except you serve wine. They serve wine at the French Disneyland, which is much nicer.
Oh, that sounds much more tolerable.
Yes. All right, Rory, thanks for your call, and good luck with your trip. Let us know how it goes.
Thanks so much, Rick.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
We're talking Paris, and Barbara's calling in from Mill Valley in California. Barbara, thanks for your call.
Hi, how are you? I'm traveling to Paris with a child, but an older one, a girl that's 12, almost 13, and we'll be there for just 2 days during the middle of the week. We have a hotel with a triple room that we got, and I'm looking for ideas to introduce her to Paris in a way that she doesn't come home thinking it's another amusement park. I don't know if that makes sense. But
well, I think that's a very good approach. And I think with a child who's 12 or 13, you can expect a little more than Rory, who's got a 9-year-old. And I remember my first time in Paris, I was 14. And it was really impactful. I remember venturing into the metro system with my mom, and we would figure it out and we would make the mistakes. And my mom would let me call the shots, and she would be there as a sort of a safety net. And we got off at Trocadero, and I remember climbing up the stairs with my mom and, you know, just sort of wonderstruck by the big city, because I'd never been any place like this. And we turned the corner at Trocadero, And there it was, the Eiffel Tower. And I just couldn't believe it. I was just shocked. But I was just being impacted by this. And I just think it's a great parenting opportunity to be able to take your kids there and expose them to the wonders of our world. And also remember, there's a bike company in Paris. It's called Fat Tire Bikes. And I've been on it, and my kids have both been on it. And it's a lot of fun. And if you'd like to, and the fun thing about the bike tours is they're led by expat kind of fun-loving, edgy teen college kids. And your kids will sort of think, yeah, these people are cool. And I'm biking along with them through Paris. And it also is real history at the same time. So you might want to consider one of the bike tours, and any guidebook explains those.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, by the way, give your kids the business card of the hotel, so that if they do get separated, they've got that. And you tell them whenever you get in trouble, you can just hop in a taxi and they'll take you to this hotel, and then we'll pay you when you get back to the hotel. We'll pay the taxi when you get back to the hotel.
Oh, that's a perfect idea.
Yeah.
And she'll have her cell phone, of course.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun. I remember when our kids were that age, I gave them I bumped up their allowance. I said, Mom and Dad are getting a little more fun money, so you get a little more fun money too. And then I required them to keep a journal as part of the deal. And I also let them keep money in their money belt and learn how to use the foreign coins and everything. And once in a while, I even cut them loose and let them find their own meal. And there's a lot of pedestrian-only streets in Paris where you could let your child roam around and drop in and see what it's like to order from a menu and deal with the waitresses and the waiters in a foreign language. And it's a scary thing at first, but it's a very learning experience for any teeny boffer.
Oh, it sounds wonderful.
All right, have fun.
That's exactly what the kind of thing I'm looking for. Thank you so much.
Good for you for thoughtfully taking your little niece to France.
Yeah.
Okay, bye now.
Okay, take care.
What do you love about Paris? Tell us at 877-333-7425. Or post your comments to our radio feedback forum. There's a link in the radio section at ricksteves.com. And Lana's on the line in Boca Raton, Florida. Hi, Lana. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Do you have a thought about Paris? We're talking about Paris.
Paris, my favorite city. I'm a cat lover, and I discovered Montmartre Cemetery in 1992, and there were cats all over the place. And ever since then, I've been going back and taking pictures. I have over 1,000 pictures of the cats.
You got 1,000 pictures of cats in the cemetery at Montmartre?
Yes.
All
yes.
In the cemetery at Montmartre?
Yes.
Wow. I bet there's some people that would enjoy seeing all those.
I think there would be. There are also people who live in Paris who are dedicated to feeding the cats. They bring in wet food. They bring in cuts of butcher's meat. They bring in medicines. They take them to the vet to be altered, and it's just an amazing culture of people who are not like Americans.
Right. Well, there, in Paris, you've got this wonderful, this culture of taking care of the stray cats. You've got it in Rome also. They've got these kitten refuges. And
it's called something, Sanctuary.
Sanctuary, and it's on Largo Argentina, which is right in downtown Rome, and you can go down there and you can visit with these people, and they volunteer their time, and they're taking care of all the stray cats.
Yes, I've been there too.
You are an expert on cats in Europe.
And also in Lisbon, a cemetery called Prageres, where there are many cats.
So now, why are the cats associated with the cemeteries? Is it just kind of a nice place for them to go without a lot of cars?
I think so.
Yeah, because I can think of all over Europe, if you want to see cats, you go to the cemeteries.
Right, and there's also greenery, there's dirt, it's not concrete.
Yeah.
Now, in Père Lachaise, there are less cats.
Because I've been to Père Lachaise. That's the most famous and historic cemetery in Paris.
Right.
And I don't remember so many cats there. But the Montmartre Cemetery is a little more overgrown and sort of mystical. And I think if I was a cat, I'd probably choose Montmartre.
Probably.
And I'd probably see you there with your camera. You'd probably want me to pose on top of some tombstone.
And in Buenos Aires, in the Recoleta Cemetery, there are many cats.
Okay, I've heard of that too. So, I think it's fun to have a little angle on your travels, and It must be fun when you go to some city to check out the cemeteries. They've got an actual guidebook for the cemeteries in Paris. Do you know what it's called?
I believe it's called Permanent Parisian.
You got it. You get the little chocolate kitty cat. Okay, it's called Permanent Parisian. So if you're really into cemeteries and you want to go to Paris and walk among the permanent Parisians, there's a guidebook exactly for you. One of my favorite cemeteries anywhere in Europe is in Milano. And it was established in the late 1800s, and it's filled with this over-the-top, super romantic, you know, end-of-the-century kind of art. I just find it so evocative. And all over Europe, you can find that. Lana, thanks for your call. And you've got us thinking about cats and cemeteries.
I love listening to you.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for listening to us, and happy travels. And someday I'd like to see maybe not 1,000 pictures of cats in Montmartre, but dozens, okay?
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
It's just you, me, and Paris right now on Travel with Rick Steves. We're at 877-333-7425. By email, it's radio@ricksteves.com. Katie's on the line from Connor in California. Katie, thanks for your call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, so you got some ideas on Paris.
Yes, my non-trip to Versailles. I'm recently married. I'd been a nun for a number of years, and my husband said, I've got to see Versailles. He had taken his late wife there and loved the trip.
Yeah. Now, had you been there before?
I had never been there before. I'd been to Paris. So we planned to be there real early. We were taking the train. We were staying out by Le Défense.
Right.
And took the tram and then the train. But when we changed trains and we went the wrong direction, lost a lot of time.
I bet.
So I had to get back in the train. By the time we got to Versailles, we had reservations. We thought we were secure. But, Rick, the lines were so long, and there were several lines. And we said to the helper there, we have reservations. And he said, well, ma'am, all these people have reservations.
Wow.
This was 10 o'clock in the morning by the time we got there.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, if you come back at 4 o'clock, you're going to be fine.
Did that work?
So, no. We came back at 4 o'clock after roaming the gardens. The gardens are beautiful.
Right.
And we had a wonderful lunch. And then we got a golf cart that went about 2 miles an hour. So it took us a long time to get around the gardens.
I've been on that golf cart. You have it literally pedal to the metal. And you think, come on, move this thing along. And it's kind of nice to have it, but you could walk just as fast.
Oh, yeah. But it was still a beautiful day, but I never did get into Versailles.
You know, that's a very frustrating thing. And we should remind people, Versailles is horrifically crowded. I was just there this last summer, and it was just a mob scene. Remember, it's closed on Tuesday, so that's horrible. I think if you go very late in the day, very, very late, you can spend an hour in there, and it's not very crowded. I was just there for a whole afternoon, and there was a lot of people there right to the end, but there wasn't the crush at the end of the day. But do remember, there is a lot of grandeur out in the garden, and you can go out to the Trianon and the Petit Trianon. And these are pint-sized palaces, every bit as lavish as Versailles, and they're out in the garden, and you can take your little slow-motion golf cart, or you can walk or take a bicycle out there. And I thought that's an amazing part of the whole experience.
Yeah, well, that's what I figured, Rick, because we went to Marie Antoinette's palace.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And there were the mirrors.
Yep.
They weren't as big.
Yeah.
They weren't as long. You know, I felt, well, I've seen it.
You can say, okay, Katie, just between you and me, you can say you've seen the Palace of Versailles. If you saw the Petit Trianon, that's the pint-sized palace with the beautiful checkerboard marble patio and the colonnade.
Uh-huh.
And then all that sumptuous party rooms and music rooms and smoking rooms and ladies' rooms and all that. I just think that's gorgeous. I think one thing we got to remind people is if you have the museum pass, did you have the Paris Museum pass?
No.
Now, that is the way to get around the lines, because when you have the museum pass, you already have a ticket. And then you can just walk right up to the front, and you can show them your pass, and they should let you in. And that's a beautiful thing about this Paris Museum Pass, because when you go to Paris, you got the Sainte-Chapelle, you got the Orsay Gallery, you've got the Louvre, and you've got Versailles. These are four must-see sites, and they're always packed. But if you have that museum pass, you walk right in, and that'll save you hours. That's probably one of the most popular tips I give anywhere in Europe is this Paris Museum Pass.
Oh, that's a great idea, Rick.
Yeah. All right, Katie, thanks for your call.
Oh, you're welcome. And thanks so much for all you do, Rick. You are amazing.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye now. Sonia's on the line from Milton in Ontario. Sonia, thanks for your call.
Hi, Bonjour, Monsieur Rick. How are you?
Bonjour, ça va? I'm really good, and I think I've exhausted my French right there.
Well, there you go. A little bit of Paris that always stays in you no matter what. But, yeah, I have been to Paris many, many times. Many, many, many times. But I seem to be almost a tour guide now. People that have not traveled anywhere in Europe, I seem to take them under my wing.
Wow.
I'm taking my cousin. She wasn't too keen on going to Paris. I said, if you don't go to Paris, you will never forgive yourself. I said, I can't tell you what it is. There's just something about Paris.
There really
is. And it has to be lived, you know, to experience it.
You know, I don't know what that is, but there is something about it. It's got the art, it's got the history,
it's got
the love of life, it's got the elegance. But, you know, all that elegance is also kind of designed to be accessible by people who are not necessarily the aristocrats, you know. It's people's elegance.
It's a joie de vivre, it really is.
Yeah.
No matter where you go, I mean, when I had said that I had taken my granddaughter there, she was 2 years old. She was excellent. And the people, they just took her under their wing. And by the time she got finished, she knew a handful of French words to say, because they all wanted her to speak French. They taught her how to wear a beret.
Nice.
But all these little things, as many times as I've been to the Louvre, I have never seen all of it.
Right.
I like to go to the small, away from the big tourist areas,
right,
and sit and just people watch.
Well, that's what, after you've seen the essential sights, people watching, just find a cafe that you like and you know, you pay a little extra, sit out with the view and just watch the river of life float by. And as we were talking about, it's more accessible now. The Champs-Élysées, I understand, used to be a grand boulevard where people would literally dress up in order to go there. And then they brought the metro in, and the people who were there all set up, the rich people that had their chauffeur-driven carriages waiting for them and all this, they thought, oh, there goes the neighborhood. Now the poor people can come in just with a metro ticket. And okay, there's a McDonald's
right
on the Champs-Élysées now.
Right. And I love their subway stations, especially the one that gets you off at the Louvre.
Yeah.
It's very interesting with all the replicas that they have on the walls.
And they've got some actual real art, I believe, in the walls too there. And if you go to different parts of the city, you'll see the history on display in the metro stop that serves that particular palace or museum, whatever. And the most famous would be the metro stop at the Louvre.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Sonia, it sounds like you're good at meeting people, and that kind of makes your trip more come alive. How would you recommend to people, if they're uninitiated to Paris, what's one tip you could give them to meet some people in Paris so you don't just find a lot of buildings and be dealing with the people at the hotel? But how do you really meet people in Paris?
Well, what I like to do with anybody that I go with is I'd like to take them for on their first little experience, shall we say, and sit at a sidewalk cafe and just drink it in.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at the people, the scenery that's around you, and just their everyday life.
You know, when you go to that cafe, Sonia, it's important to remember that there'd be a few tourists there, but the other people sitting around you, they probably live in a cramped little apartment just 100 meters away, and this is their place to stretch out their legs and enjoy a cafe. And a lot of the people there are part of the scene. So remember, you watch the people strolling by, but you also remember you are part of the scene because you're sitting right there. And if you go back the second night in a row, the waitresses will know you, and you're part of the scene as well.
That's right.
Sonia, thanks for your call and your inspiration.
You're most welcome, Rick. Thank you so much, and keep up the good work. I enjoy everything you do.
Okay, thanks. Happy travels.
Thank you. You too.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wilner at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington. Thanks to our friends at WHYY Philadelphia for their help this week. You'll find more to each week's show in the radio section of ricksteves.com. This week, you'll find a feature with Rick and Nika explaining how to best enjoy a snack at one of the many herring stands in Amsterdam. Join us again next week for more travel with Rick Steves.